ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवे नामपमश्रवस्तमम् कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः टु से देर् इस् नो ड्युवालिटि एब्सल्यूट्लि टु थिङ्ग्स् हव् टु बि नेगेटेड् One is Jivaha, another one is Jagat. The very effort of teaching to help you see the Jiva being not there absolutely, to help you see the Jagat being not there absolutely, is required because there is duality in our perception. Because whenever our perceptions are denied, it is pain. It is very painful for one to have one's perceptions denied. Any perception, for example, one can have one's own perceptions. It's like denying your own dream experience. If when you come and tell, yesterday I had this dream, you know, what all you saw in your dream, you tell me, you really had a dream. If I say no, you are telling me lie, because you cannot prove that what you dreamt. There's no way of proving that your dream, isn't it? When you tell me, I can say no, you are telling a lie, you did not see any such thing like that. It's a pain, isn't it? Because you had the experience. So denying one's perception, similarly, denying one's perception, not one's perception, what is objectively real for all of us. There is experience of, this universe is experienced by us, and there is an individuality as I am, here there's an individuality, okay, and there is the world. Therefore, I am different from the whole universe as an individual. This difference is very much there. Duality is there in our perception, in my experience. And there is this universe, and then which is also real, and I assume it must have come into existence from something, because out of nothing, something cannot come into existence. Therefore, I see there is a universe which must have been created, and I am here as an individual different from this created universe. This is the perception of duality, experience of duality, which we need not work hard to have this. Without any study of the scriptures, we naturally have this dvaita drishtihi. Isn't it? To have this dvaita drishti, we need not study any shastram. Naturally we have. So shastram also cannot deny our perception. But without denying your perception, accepting your perception, keeping you wherever you are, from your own understand, and shastram has to give you a different perspective where these divisions, the differences are not there at all. It's called Advaita Drishtihi. So, Dvaita Drishtihi we need not work for, we already have. Dvaita Drishtihi means the perception of the individual being different from the whole universe, and the perception of universe, you know, being created by something different, isn't it? The creator. This creator created a difference, and individual total difference. These differences are called what now? Having these differences in our perception is called Dvaita Bedaha Dvaita Drishtihi. Now, Beda Drishtihi. Beda drishti means dvaita drishti, perception of difference between Ishvara and the Jiva, perception of difference between the Jagat and Ishvara is called what? No, Beda drishti or dvaita drishti. This we naturally have, actually already have. And this has to be resolved through the Advaita Abheda Drishtihi. So, in the third chapter of the Mandukya Upanishad, Gaudapada Acharyaji, presents, gives us this Advaita Drishtihi. And for us, without denying our perception, retaining our perception from our standpoint, still from a different standpoint, we can have a different perspective, that we can have Advaita Drishtihi. So for which, and this is what he initially introduced in the very first verse, when he talked about the Turiya Chaitanya Swarupam being Advaitam, non-Turiyam, the fourth aspect of the Atma, which seems like the fourth, is not the fourth. The Atma, Chaitanyam, the consciousness, obtaining in all the three states of experience, as the Pragyaha, as the Taijasaha, as the Vishvaha, is actually another than the one consciousness, which is non-dual reality. And that same thing, that word, Advaitam, is further elaborately discussed here, is made very clear in this third chapter. So for which he had to negate two srishtis. You have to say, there is only Paramatma. All that is here is only Paramatma. This Paramatma has no beginning, Paramatma or Parambrahma. Absolute self of everything or the absolute reality is what it is, eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless. And this only reality is independent and it is one indivisible, partless whole. Which is when you say eternal, it is all pervasive, independent. It was there, it is now, it will be there forever. This is the only reality. Other than that reality, there is no second thing other than that reality. Parumporul allada vere irandavadu oru porul illai. There is no second thing. There is not even second parallel reality. There is no second thing other than. There is no second thing other than the reality. Isn't it? The second thing. That's why not at all true. But in our perception, we have to. Isn't it? This, it has to be account somehow. The perception has to be, really somehow resolved. Not somehow, with the understanding of the fact, truth. Therefore, here, that all that is here is only Paramatma. Which means, there is no second thing means, there is no such a thing called Jivaha. Absolutely there is no Jivaha. Absolutely there is no Jagat. This is what we have to say. Which means, the Jiva, what is that obtains as Jiva is also not the product of, isn't it? Product of Paramatma. To say that all that is here is only Paramatma, and that Parambrahma Chaitanyam, that absolute reality, the consciousness, that reality is one's own Swarupam. The Swarupam of everything. The truth of one's own self, the truth of everything is that one and the same reality, Chaitanyam. Because it is this vision of non-duality of the reality, in fact, is the means for moksha. It is this vision wherein one discovers moksha. This very vision is moksha, freedom. Isn't it? Therefore, and here, which means this reality is not even the cause of anything. I explained to you in the very beginning, once you talk about the cause, if you say, reality is the cause of the universe, and then what happens? You have to talk about so many other factors. In fact, undergoing changes. Undergoing changes implies what again? Then there is a beginning and there is an end and there is a constant changes. And then you have to talk about what now? Duality. Duality comes. And if you say the reality is the cause of the universe, then there will be duality on the part of as a cause and effect. Isn't it? Duality will be there. Therefore, here the main teaching in this Advaita Prakaranam is the reality is not the cause also. Reality is not even the cause. That absolute reality is not even the cause of the universe. Therefore, it is not the effect also. Therefore, that which is distinct from the cause and effect, the karana karyam, avyakta vyaktam, it is distinct, isn't it? For you to say that which is distinct from, different from the cause and the effect, means then you have to say what is the cause? If it is neither the cause of the jivaha, it is not the cause of the universe also. Reality is not the... There are only two things we talk about. There is a jiva srishti, jagat srishti. Creation of jiva is... We always talk about what? Creation of the jiva. When you celebrate your date of birth, it implies what? Creation of the jiva. Then, death of the jiva is also what now? Then destruction of jiva. Therefore, not so jiva srishti and the creation of the universe. Therefore, we have here Gaudapada Acharya makes it very clear, the jiva is also not created. Jagat also is not created. Which means not created means not created means Ishvara is not the cause. Here Ishvara is not the cause. Parambrahma, reality is not the cause. Not created, not the product of Paramatma. Therefore, Paramatma is not the cause. This is what he is trying to say. So, we saw initially how logically, in four stages he teaches this, I told you already. First, he negates the creation of jiva, the jiva srishti logically. Then he negates the jagat srishti logically. Thereafter, he negates the jiva srishti in four words, jiva srishti with the scripture, support of the scripture, then 15 karikas, he negates the creation of the universe with the scriptural support. All the mantras is going to quote where all the mantras, all the karikas, he is going to beautifully negate. That is the house, Upanishads themselves present the negation of the creation of the universe. Which means, universe is not the created, not creation. There is no such thing called creation of anything as jiva or the jagat. There is no creation means, there is no creator. There is no creator means, reality is not the, there is no cause. Reality is not the cause of the universe. When you say reality is not the cause of this universe, and what is this creation? The creation is nothing but manifestation of jiva and jagat, what are the manifestations of one and the same reality. And for which to negate the jiva srishti logically, creation of the jiva logically, he used the example of pot, space and space, and he explained beautifully how there is no such jiva, there's no such thing called jiva at all. There's no such a thing called pot space, there's only one space. One only space, isn't it? which is indivisible, partless. Similarly, there is no jivaha, there is only chaitanyam brahma. Chaitanyam brahma, the consciousness, which obtains as the jiva. There is no such thing called real jiva at all. He explained logically using the pot space and space example. Mahakasha, Gatakasha example. Now, then the 10th karika, he also explained how the universe is not, logically explained how universe is also not created. Then from the 11th verse onwards, we saw, he establishes the same thing. He establishes what he establishes, that there is no creation, there is no creation of jiva. Jiva is not created. Jiva is not a product of Paramatma. And for which he with support of the Shruti, he discusses this jiva being not the product of Paramatma. Let us see here. Rasadayo hi eko shah.
Rasadayo hi eko shah.
Vyakhyata staitiriyake.
Vyakhyata staitiriyake.
Teshamatma paro jivaha.
Teshamatma paro jivaha.
Kham yatha samprakashitaha.
Kham yatha samprakashitaha.
See, what has been logically explained is further explained with support of the Shruti, Upanishadic statements. So, to explain that Jiva is not the product of Paramatma, he uses the Mahavakyas. He uses Mahavakyam, he doesn't go for too many Mahavakyams. Any Mahavakyam from any Upanishad is itself is called Mahavakyam, because what is a Mahavakyam? What's a big statement? Just Tattvamasi has only three words. It's a third person singular pronoun, second person singular pronoun, and one simple verb, do verb, asi, that thou art. Or another Mahavakyam, if you take, he doesn't quote all of them. Just example he gives, isn't it? If you take Aham Brahma Asmi, nothing. Again, three words. I am Atma Brahma, three words. Pragyanam Brahma, only two words. Pragyanam Brahma. And then sample Mahavakyams. So many Mahavakyams, any portion of any Upanishad revealing the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma, the truth of the individual and the truth of the whole is a Mahavakyam. That is why we have to remember always Mahavakyams are not just the four. Sometimes Mahavakyams become big portions also, and long sentences, big portions which also reveal the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma, the individual self and the total self, or the truth of the individual or the truth of the total. So all these Mahavakyams are said to be Mahavakyams because what you think as tiny little Jiva, who has the date of birth and who is supposed to have date of death, who has the date of death also, even though we do not know, with a very clear knowledge of date of birth, with ignorance of date of death, but being sure of date of death, going through all these miseries in life, and this Jivatma, actually speaking, is what from the standpoint of the truth, reality, is identical with Paramatma. Identical means non-different Paramatma. Jivatma is none other than Paramatma. Jivaha hi naiva aparaha. Jivaha is Paramatma. That is why each statement is called Mahavakyam, great declaration. Why great declaration? Because the tiny little Jiva is given the status of lifted to the great status of being the whole. Okay, time bound, spatially limited, object wise limited, with all limitations, isn't it? This jiva, actually, the standpoint of the truth is lifted and shifted to the great status, given the great status of being the whole, being identical with the Ishvara, which means that is what is a great statement, great declaration, isn't it? So, jivatma is paramatma. They're identical. So that is this, which means identical means, and all the people agree one thing. What is that one thing? Dvaitins, Visishtadvaitins, all of them agree one fact. People of different schools of thought also agree one thing, that Paramatma has no beginning. Thank God, isn't it? Paramatma has no beginning. If you say Paramatma also has a beginning, and then it will be what now? There will be problem of infinite regression, isn't it? Then you have to keep on asking, who created Paramatma, Paramatma, and who created that Paramatma, like that. Therefore, all of them uniformly, unanimously agree one thing, that Paramatma has no beginning. Paramatma is not created. No beginning. So if timelessness of Paramatma is accepted by all the people, therefore if Paramatma is timeless, beginningless, uncreated, then Jiva, these Mahavakyams which state the Jivatma, the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma, they also imply Jiva is also non-created. Understand? Jiva is not created, not the product. Jiva also has no beginning, not even the product. Why? Because Jivatma is identical with Paramatma, who is beginningless, who is uncreated. Therefore, we don't need to go into all the Upanishads. So all the Upanishads actually reveal one fact is what? The Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam they reveal. Mahavakyams themselves are enough for us to understand. Paramatma being beginningless is accepted by all people of all schools of thought. Okay? And here, so Jivatma being identical with Paramatma is revealed by the Mahavakyams of Upanishads, which means Jivatma being identical with Paramatma, being non-different from Paramatma, Jivatma also has no beginning. Not created, not the product of Paramatma. This is the vision he wants to bring out in the first two mantras. Okay? So for which he says, he takes the Taittiriya Upanishad. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, the famous part of Taittiriya, of course, is Taittiriya Upanishad, the whole Upanishad is very beautiful Upanishad. And there, Taittiriya Upanishad is known for its presentation of Panchakosha Viveka. Panchakosha Viveka is beautifully presented in Taittiriya Upanishad. Therefore, rasa adayaha means annamaya adayaha panchakoshaha. Annamayaha, pranamayaha, vijnanamayaha, all those koshas are discussed there. And so analysis of panchakoshas finally help you distinguish the Atma being exalted, being the truth of all the koshas, isn't it? Being distinct from the panchakoshas. Panchakosha analysis help you to understand the koshas being not the Atma, truth, and thereby it helps you to arrive at the truth being Chaitanyam being Atma. And therefore, panchakoshadayaha hi ye koshaha vyakhyataha unfold, explained in Taittiriya Upanishad. And Tesham Atma, the self of all the self of the five layers of personality, the truth of all the different layers of personality is what? Is Jivaha actually, Paraha Atma. The Jivaha, the truth obtaining in all these layers of personality is none other than Atma, the consciousness, which is not different, not distinct from the five layers of personality, but distinct from the panchakoshas. The distinct jiva is another than atma, paraha atma, the consciousness. And how? Kam yatha samprakashitaha. Just as the space being one indivisible partless whole has been explained, you know, through this example of the part space and the total space. Similarly here also, the jiva obtaining in every individual, now in all these five koshas, five layers of personality, is another than pure consciousness. Jiva swarupam is consciousness, therefore it's identical with Paramatma. It is non-different from Paramatma. Just as part space obtaining in space obtaining in part or enclosed by part is non-different and non-different from the total space, is already indivisible space, one and the same space. Similarly here, consciousness obtaining as the self of every individual also is non-different from the consciousness obtaining as the truth of the whole self of all the beings. Isn't it? This is what is said in the 11th verse. So he brings in panchakosha prakriya, and through the panchakosha viveka helps you, analysis of five koshas help you distinguish the atma, jiva, from the panchakoshas, and helps you understand the jiva swarupam being chaitanyam, brahma, which is identical with paramatma. Therefore, that Mahavakyam reveals this fact of jiva being identical with individual self, being identical with Paramatma, the total self. Therefore, jivatma is not at all created, not the creation. It is only manifestation of the same consciousness. And it is in no way it is any way different from Paramatma, because it's one and the same Atma. Is it clear? Even Jivatma, Paramatma, these adjectives are only not necessary, only Atma. Only Atma. Okay, now let us go to the next mantra now. Dvayor Dvayor Madhu Jnane.
Dvayor Dvayor Madhu Jnane.
Param Brahma Prakashitam.
Param Brahma Prakashitam.
Prithivyam Udare Chaiva.
Prithivyam Udare Chaiva.
Yatha Kashaf Prakashitaha.
Yatha Kashaf Prakashitaha.
See, now this 12th mantra, the reference is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Upanishad consists of many chapters, and each chapter is, in Sanskrit language is called Adhyayaha. Like how Bhagavad Gita also chapter is called Adhyayaha, the chapter in Sanskrit is Adhyayaha. And then each chapter has many sections, So the section is called Brahmanam. So in Pratyekasmin Adhyaye, there are Brahmanaha, Brahmanani, okay? Brahmanam is a name given for this section. Each section is known as Brahmanam. So like that, in that Upanishad, second chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is have many sections. The fifth section, fifth Brahmanam. So Dvitiya Adhyayaha Panchama Brahmanam, fifth Brahmanam. There is a Mahavakyam presented. And that Mahavakyam is not straight away like simple Mahavakyam, isn't it? Like Tattvamasi, Aham Brahma Asmi. Not like that. Not simple statements. There also Mahavakyam. That Mahavakya means what? There's a portion which reveals the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma. And the section that's called Madhu Brahmanam. The fifth section is called Madhu Brahmanam. Madhu Brahmanam means the section which deals with the nature of Brahman, reality. So, in that section, Brahman is implied by the term Madhu. Now, in Chandogya, the Bhuma. Bhuma Vidya means Brahma Vidya. Sometimes the word, the Brahman, the reality implied by the word Brahman, Bhuman, isn't it? And here also another word is what? Madhu. Madhu is a word implying the reality. Why it is an implying word, not an indicating word? The word literally madhu means honey. Madhu means anything sweet is what? Madhu. You know, liquor is also called madhu in Tamil. Is it? Madhu means, I don't know why. In Tamil language, madhu means liquor also. So here madhu means, better remember honey, okay? Madhu means honey. And anything sweet is also called madhu, madhuram. No, sweet is called madhuram, so madhu. So Brahman is madhu. Isn't it? Why? Because sweet is desirable for all of us. Even people may say, I don't like sweet. That's not true. Isn't it? Actually speaking, everybody likes sweet. You may not like all the time, but sweet is something desirable for all of us. Therefore, what is desirable like sweetness is happiness. Isn't it? What is desirable? Just as sweetness is, any sweet is desirable, sweetness is desirable generally for all the people. What is the most desirable, what is the desirable for all the beings is sukham, happiness. I explained this even when I gave the meaning of the word Krishna also. You know, in fact, Shivaha also means happiness, auspiciousness. Auspiciousness means what? That which does not cause sorrow, that which is devoid of sorrow, that which drives away sorrow is what? That in which whose knowledge sorrow will not be there is called Shivaha, auspiciousness. What is the meaning of Krishna? That which attracts all the minds towards itself is all attractive. Krishna means Sarva Manoharam. Krishna is equal to Sarva Akarshakam, Sarva Manoharam. That which draws all the minds towards itself. Which means that which is sought after by everybody is absolutely, ultimately, through everything they do is happiness. Isn't it true? Is it nice to know the meaning? So Krishna means Sarva Akarshakam, all attractive. Sarva Manoharam. Manamsi Harati Iti Manoharaha. We say, what I want to say is, don't go out of the topic here. What is said here is, happiness is the most desirable. Niraivu is most desirable. And it's a choicelessly sought. Isn't it? Choicelessly sought, no? This unanimously sought, universally sought is happiness. Universally sought is what? Happiness. Irrespective of who the person is. That is why happiness is the dearest to all. And that happiness is the swarupam of the reality. Absolute reality, Parambarul, is of the nature of Niraivu, is of the nature of fullness, happiness. Fullness is another synonym of the word happiness. Isn't it? Why? Because You know this very well. So happiness is the nature of the reality. Fullness is the swarupam of reality. Reality need not do anything to be of the nature of fullness. Like just as fire need not do anything to become hot. At least water has to boil. Water has to be kept on the fire to become hot, isn't it? So reality need not do anything to become hot. It need not become hot. It is always hot. Being hot is its very nature. Because it never gets cold for it to become hot, isn't it? Which means the being hot is the swarupam of the fire. Similarly, being full and being happy, being limitless is the very nature of the reality. Therefore, happiness is the swarupam of Brahma. Therefore, Brahma means absolute reality, Parambarul. And happiness happens to be the most desirable, universally sought, is a dearest, we say here what now, that which is as desirable as the sweetness is, in fact, the most desirable is the happiness. And Brahman, the reality, is the of the nature of happiness, the greatest only source of happiness. Brahman also is implied by its swarupam of happiness, Madhu. Paramvarulukku Madhu nurupir. Understand? Madhu is a word implying the nature of reality. Like Brahman is a word implying the nature of reality. No, the nature of limitlessness in terms of time, space and object. So here Brahman is of the nature of happiness, fullness. That is implied by the, isn't it? Word Brahma, Madhu. Therefore, that chapter section is called Madhu Brahmanam. I have gone out of the topic, okay? I'm coming back now. Because what to do? We have to tell you all these things. Because once you come to Mandukya Upanishad, means you must have studied so many things. He assumes that you already have studied all that, you know everything. So he just quotes like that. So I have to tell you all these things because we have not yet done Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Anyway, so Madhu Brahmanam, in that section discussing the nature of Brahman, he says what? Madhu Jnane. Madhu Jnane means Madhu Brahmane. Madhu Jnanam is equal to Madhu Brahmanam. The section discussing Paramatma, Parambrahma, the section of Mandukya, fifth section of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the second chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Param Brahma Prakashitam, the absolute nature of the reality is, revealed. The nature of the reality is unfolded. Param Brahma Prakashitam. Param Brahma Prakashitam. How is Param Brahma Prakashitam, the nature of the reality, Param Brahma, is unfolded in that Madhu Brahmanam? How is it revealed? There, the nature of the reality is revealed as one and the same of Jiva and Ishvara. Param Brahma, absolute reality, being the only truth of Jiva and Ishvara, is revealed. Individual and the total. The microcosm and the macrocosm. The truth of the microcosm, the individual. The truth of the macrocosm, the total, being one and the same Brahman, is revealed there. So, it takes each individual. It not just the whole individual also. It beautifully talks about how it reveals. Suppose individuals, each power it takes. In the Upanishad, each power of individual is taken. For example, seeing power of the individual. Now, we can say Chakshur Indriyam. Then Shrotra Indriyam. Now, then we can say Grana Indriyam. Rasa Indriyam. Twagindriyam. No, he takes the powers of the indriyams, the powers of obtaining as sense organs, and the powers obtaining as in organs of actions. Each power he takes, each indriyam is an individual power. And what is the corresponding total power? There is a corresponding total power called Devata. Individual seeing power and corresponding total seeing power. There is an individual hearing power, corresponding total hearing power. He says all these powers. No? He says the truth behind the individual power and the truth behind the corresponding total power is one and the same reality. This is also another way of presenting Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. The power behind what, you know, the truth because of which this function of seeing is possible. The truth, the reality because of which the function of, you know, function of illumining is possible, you know, of the devatas, there's one and the same truth. There's no difference at all. So the truth behind each indriyam, the truth behind corresponding total power is one and the same. No, you can say now, truth behind one mind, truth behind the total mind. Like he takes dvayoho dvayoho. Dvayam means here what? A pair of the individual power and the corresponding total power of both. Okay, dvayoho dvayoho. Mean what now? Irand irandudaya. Isn't it? Dvayoho dvayoho means of both individual power and the corresponding total power. The truth is one and the same Brahman, the consciousness. Which means the truth of the entire microcosm, the individual, the truth of the entire macrocosm, the universe, is one and the same Param Brahma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, whose Swarupam is happiness. Is it clear? That's what is said here. So, dvayoho dvayoho Param Brahma Prakashitam. Dvayoho dvayoho means the truth of the microcosm, the truth of the macrocosm in terms of total powers, in terms of individual powers, in terms of the total individual and total universe also. The truth of the individual and the total being one and the same Brahman, the consciousness, is revealed in the Madhu Brahmanam of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now, again he goes next slide. Prithivyam udare chaiva. How is it revealed? How is it revealed there? He says, Prithivyam udare cha eva akashaha yatha prakashitaha. Just as, now he leaves the pot space and space. He talks about space obtaining in your own stomach. We need not have any doubt. Because of the space alone, what is in the container goes and fills our stomach later on, isn't it? Container becomes empty when our tummy becomes full, which means there is space. Isn't it? There's no doubt. Nobody has any doubt about having space in stomach. And I have become a guest space. Therefore, the space may, you know, space inside the stomach may be, you know, proportion may vary from person to person. How much you fill it with is different, but still there is space. So what he says, it's not unnecessary matter, okay? But why to understand? He says space in, why should we talk all the time about gataha, gataha? What about space in you? Because he's talking about, in that section what happens, no? Every truth behind everything, no? The corresponding total power and the individual power is one and the same means. Like what? Like the space in your stomach and the space obtaining within this earth is one and the same space. Space within the stomach, outside the stomach. outside this samak means what? Space obtaining within the earth. Therefore, prithivyam udarecha eva yatha akashaha prakashitaha. Just as space being one indivisible partless whole, obtaining within the stomach and obtaining outside of the stomach within the earth, being on the same, so also the truth behind all the individual powers, the truth behind all the total corresponding total powers, and the truth behind the entire individual and the total entire total universe being one the same is Brahman is revealed, discussed in that chapter. Is it clear? This is two examples. Okay. Now the third.
Jivatmanoranyatvam.
Abhedena prashasyate.
Abhedena prashasyate.
Nanatvam nindyate yaccha.
Nanatvam nindyate yaccha.
Tadevam hi samanjasam.
Tadevam hi samanjasam.
See, here what happens. Gaudapada Acharyaji is very thoughtful. He assumes some questions or doubts from, the Purupakshis. Because Upanishads do not present Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Even though the main teaching, the purpose of the Upanishadic study itself is to finally arrive at the vision of non-duality of the reality, even though Advaita Darshanam, Advaita Drishtihi is the Tatparyam of the Upanishad, giving the vision of non-duality is the aim of the Upanishads, even though the Upanishadic portions present the Mahavakyams which reveal the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma, in the same Veda, in the same Upanishads also, there are portions which reveal the Jivatma Paramatma Vedaha. Jivatma Paramatma Vedaha. Difference. Which means the Jivas are presented as the created from Brahma. So Ishvara is presented as the Karanam and then Jiva is presented as the Karyam, etc. Portion, there are portions. Suppose because some of you have studied the Mundaka Upanishad from me. So in Mundaka Upanishad, there is a verse wherein the Jivaha, there is a Dvau Suparna, Dva Suparna. Is it Dvau Suparna? It means the two birds are presented as being seated on the perching in the same tree. Which means there it is said one is a Jiva bird, one is Ishvara bird. The Jiva bird alone is eating the fruits, making a lot of noise, and the Ishvara bird sits quietly without eating, watches this Jiva bird eating, etc. This example that's given. And the same Upanishad, this also another example is given, that just as from the huge conflagration of fire, many sparks come out, so all these Jivas are, come out of Paramatma, like that. There also they reveal only identity only, but still such presentation of the verses make you think what? As the Jivas, just as sparks are born of huge conflagration of fire, Jivas are born of Paramatma. Such understanding you may have. Such understanding you may have. Therefore, and not only these Upanishads, we can go on like this so many Upanishads where know the Srishti is presented. Srishti topic itself is presented. So there may be a question from a Purapakshi. Not there may be. Definitely we all may have the doubts. The Upanishad itself presents such verses which reveal the Jivatma, Paramatma, Veda, the difference. So how should we take it? Which means, do Upanishads present both the teaching, the difference and the non-difference? Upanishad teaches both difference and non-difference. Then are there two facts? There can't be two facts. If we say both are facts, this is also okay, that's also okay. Swamiji always says, we can't be talayatti bommai. You can't be like, for everything. There's no difference between Jiva and Ishvara. There is difference between Jiva and Ishvara. You can't say that, you know. You can't say for everything, yes. These Upanishads present in the contradictory views? How can Upanishads themselves present two different contradictory views? Isn't it? Which means Upanishads cannot, so Upanishads do teach, Upanishads do present such verses for a given purpose. That we are going to see later on. Okay? The purpose of Srishti, discussion of Srishti, discussion of creation, the topic of creation discussed in the Upanishads serves a different purpose. Even therefore, what we should say, we should be very clear, what is the tatparyam, what is the ultimate teaching of the Upanishads? What is the ultimate aim of Upanishads? Ultimately, Upanishads aim at blessing you with the vision of non-duality of the reality, which means ultimately Upanishads aim at giving you the vision of the non-difference. Abheda darshanameva Upanishad is aiming at. Isn't it? Upanishads, therefore, how do we know that? How do we know Upanishad, even though they seem to be, there's a seeming contradiction between the statements of the Upanishads. There's no contradiction at all. Really speaking, ultimately what they aim is the vision of the non-difference. Understanding the non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara is in the main teaching of the Upanishad. That he wants to say. How does he say that? Look at this. What is praised in the Upanishad? What is criticized in the Shastram? Jivatmanoho ananyatvam abhedena prashasyate. Jiva Atmanoho means Jivatmanaha Paramatmanaha. Together you can say Jivatmanoho or Jiva Jivasya Atmanaha cha. You can say between Jiva and Ishvara, Jiva and Paramatma, as Jivatmanoho means between Jiva and Atma or Paramatma, Ananyatvam, non-difference. Okay, Ananyatvam means non-separateness. Inseparability, non-separateness. Abhedena, the non-different, with the non-difference. Now, prashasyate is highly glorified. Prashamsa means glorification, praise. Prashasyate is glorified, highly praised. What is highly glorified in the Upanishads? What is criticized? What is condemned? What is glorified? That is why we have to study the scriptures very carefully. The Srishti topic is discussed, people come to the class. And afterwards they don't come to the class. then what will happen? Oh, in the Upanishads teach Srishti. One day, last time I went to Manchester. No, I had to tell you this. One day I went to, I think few years ago I went to Manchester, because that time I did not know any of you, I didn't have any job here, I didn't have to teach anything. So I was simply traveling between Manchester, and then I went to Kalpeshji's house. And then he took me to one nearby temple there one day. And he said, there's some program, 1,000 people are going to come, wanting to come. Just come and see the program. And then there, some good people with a good intention, they were presenting some slideshow. Now, what slideshow on? The creation presented in Taittiriya Upanishad. All music, and then they put some, all stars come, and nice pictures. Like, if you go to this, even YouTube, you can find lots of things. How the sparks coming, and then earth coming, and all these things they were showing. And they say, and they also quoting mantras from Taittiriya Upanishad. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akasha sambhutaha. Space came into existence from Brahman. This is a beautiful slideshow. Very tempting with music, good music. Akasha dvayu. Vayo ragni. Then some comes and a fire came. They are showing a beautiful slideshow. Presentation of Srishti in Taittiriya Upanishad. Upanishads talk about the creation long, long ago. You know, they wanted to say, talk about the greatness of Upanishads. They want to say Upanishads are great. But this is not actually idea. Upanishads do not aim at presenting the Srishti. But that presentation of Srishti topic from Taittiriya Upanishad taken, they made a very good slideshow. You know? And finally comes what now? Vayo, Ragni, Agne, Rapaha. Rapaha comes. Jal, water flows. And right now, when the flow of water means that music. And they also presented some rivers flowing and all that. And how the water comes. You know, excellent presentation. You know, how they made very beautifully done picture. But it is not useful for Upanishad students anyway. Vayo Agne Rapaha Adbya Prithivi, then the earth comes like this. You know, what I want to say, people listen to some of that Upanishads and they bunk the classes. And they think Upanishads present Srishti. There is creation. Upanishads talk about Srishti. There is a purpose of discussing Srishti. The topic of Srishti being discussed in the Upanishad has its own purpose. That is why when you say study means, the study must be systematic study, regular study, continuous study, with Shraddha focused study, and with the help of the teacher, not reading the translations of the books. The translation also will say what? The space has come into existence from Brahman. They are not wrong translations, perfect translations, but what do you understand from by reading the translations? You get the impression that the creation is there, isn't it? And you want to break the head, how did Brahman create and who is it Brahman, etc. We will go, isn't it? And we will also go and argue with half-baked knowledge also. The way I want to say here, there's a purpose of presenting the Srishti topic in the Upanishads is different. Because some people might come and ask like this. That is why Gaudapada Acharya particularly answers such people. Upanishads cannot go wrong, do not go wrong. Upanishad presents Srishti, no doubt about it. But the purpose served by the presentation of Srishti is completely different. But you have to understand what is the main teaching of the Upanishad. When the Upanishad presents the Srishti, there is a Veda. Is it? Veda is also discussed there. Veda is there. That does not mean Upanishad teaches two facts. There can't be two facts. The one and the ultimate fact is the non-difference, vision of non-duality. So here he says, the non-difference alone, Jiva Ishvara Abhedaha, is alone is highly glorified and praised. And Jiva Atmanoho Ananyatvam, the Jiva being non-separate from Ishvara, Jiva being inseparable from Ishvara, Jiva being non-different from Paramatma, alone is highly glorified. Ananyatvam prashasyate. Ananyatvam means inseparability. Abhedena, the non-difference alone is highly glorified. No, not only non-difference and inseparability between inseparability of Jiva and Ishvara is glorified. What is criticized also you have to see, isn't it? The duality is criticized, condemned in the Upanishads. The same Upanishads condemn what? Duality. He says here, Nanatvam Nindyate. Nanatvam means what now? This Jiva Jiva Bheda, isn't it? Also plurality, the seeing many as everything as many. That is different, this is different, this is different, this is different. The perception of plurality being mistaken for absolute reality itself is because of the duality. I am different from the whole is the reason for seeing everything being different from everything else also. The perception of plurality is relatively real. The plurality which you perceive is not unreal. It is not absolutely real. It is relatively real. The duality which you experience is also relatively real, but not absolutely real. Non-duality, non-difference, inseparability is absolutely real. Isn't it? If you think that what is perceptually relatively real is absolutely real, then that is not, no, that is highly condemned, criticized. It's because lack of vision. Isn't it? So he says, Nanatvam Nindyate. Nanatvam Nindyate. Yatricha Tadevahi Samanjasam. This itself is the proof for what? Tadevahi Samanjasam. This itself is the thing for us to understand. The proof of understanding that Upanishads do not reveal two facts. Upanishads, the ultimate teaching of the Upanishad is non-difference. You know, non-difference. Because without denying your perception, retaining your perception, accepting your perception, your experience from your standpoint, Upanishad is trying to give a different perspective from different standpoint. Therefore, and there Upanishad only condemns the perception of duality being mistaken for absolutely real. So nindyate means is criticized, is condemned. What is prashasyate? Non-duality is praised. The non-difference is jiva ishvara abhedaha. Non-difference is praised. Inseparability is praised. And what is criticized? Difference is criticized. Isn't it? Ishvara jiva bheda is criticized. And this criticism of the difference, Jiveshwara Veda, praise, glorification of Jiveshwara Aikyam is the proof for the main teaching of the Upanishad being the Aikyam, not the difference. Oneness, not the difference. Identity, not the difference. Is it clear? And here, actually, Shankara quotes in his Bhashyam, in Taittiriya Upanishad, you all read, we have done Taittiriya Upanishad, Atatasya bhayam bhavati, no? Udaram antaram kurute, so dvitiyadhi bhayam bhavati. The fear, the insecurity, the fear is there as long as one isolates oneself from the whole. The sense of insecurity also will be there as long as one sees oneself being different from the whole. ఈశ్వర. సో డిఫరెన్స్ విల్ రిజల్ట్ ఇన్ ఫియర్. యూ కెన్ నాట్ రిజాల్వ్ దిస్ ఎమోషన్ కాల్డ్ ఫియర్ అట్ ఆల్ ఫర్ గుడ్. ద ఫియర్ కెన్ నెవర్ బి రిజాల్వ్ ఫర్ గుడ్. Anxiety can never be resolved for good. The sense of insecurity can never be resolved for good unless and until you resolve your, now, your in resolve this difference between you and Ishvara. Is it clear? Therefore, dvaite bhayam, advaite abhayam, advaitam abhayam, ద్వైతం భయం. ఫియర్ ఇన్ డ్యువాలిటీ, ఓకే, ఫియర్లెస్నెస్ ఇన్ నాన్ డ్యువాలిటీ, అబ్సల్యూట్ సెక్యూరిటీ ఇన్ అద్వైతం, దిస్ ల్యాక్ ఆఫ్ సెక్యూరిటీ, ది సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్సెక్యూరిటీ ఇన్ ద్వైతం. ద్వైతే భయం, అద్వైతే అభయం. When Subramanya says, Yamirukka Bayamen, if you know yourself being I, myself, then where is the fear? That is what is the meaning. Okay? If you see yourself as me, if you see myself as yourself, then there is no fear. You know, this in the Kartikeya picture, they say, Yamirukka Bayamen. So when is the fear? If you isolate yourself from me, then that is fear. If you see yourself, how can you resolve the isolation? How can you see yourself being myself? If you see myself as yourself, you see yourself as myself, isn't what now? If you see the non-difference between the Ishvara Swarupam and Jiva Swarupam, then there is no fear. Okay, therefore, which means this is how that the Taittiriya Upanishad quotation is very important quotation. Shankara also presents in his Bhashyam, you know, dvaitadhi bhayam bhavati, dvaitadvai bhayam bhavati, udaramantaram kurute, natu tadvitiyam asti, atatasya bhayam bhavati. This quotation is from Taittiriya Upanishad. This quotation also what now praises, condemns the, it criticizes the duality being the cause of fear. Perception of duality being mistaken for absolute reality is the cause of fear. Now he says that itself what now? It praises the vision of non-duality. Then there's another quotation also from the Kathopanishad. Yaha idam sarvam yadayam atma. All that is here is only atma. There's nothing which is not the atma. Means where is the jiva, where is the jagat? All that is here is the atma. Isn't it? You can say how many ever containers are there, the space enclosed in the space is seemingly enclosed. But oh, so many containers are one and the same space. All these enclosed spaces are actually one and the only secondless space. How you can say similarly, he says, idam sarvam ayam atma. Oh, idam sarvam ayam atma. Look at this. Idam sarvam ayam atma. Understand? All that idam sarvam means that this third person singular pronoun, idam. Idam sarvam, this entire universe is I am Atma, this self. It is this self which is there as this universe. Idam sarvam I am Atma. This whole universe is this self. Aham idam sarvam. This is the meaning of this sentence, what? Idam sarvam I am Atma. Idam I am Atma. Understand? It is the entire universe is this self. Okay, whereas, and he says, the one who sees nana iva pashyati saha mrityum mrityoho mrityum apnoti. It's a very important quotation from Kathopanishad. Mrityoho mrityum apnoti. This person who does not know this fact. What is that fact? all that is here is the self. Is there anything which is not the self here? Can you see a second thing other than the self? Now you can see. But once you have the vision, you will say what? Now, how you see the entire ocean is water, every wave is water, there is only water. Similarly, this entire cosmos is the self, the consciousness. What is the self? Your body, mind, sense complex is included in the universe. And the self, the truth of this Atma, the consciousness is Brahma. The consciousness obtaining in the individual is Brahma. The body, mind, sense complex is included in this Idam universe. This entire universe is I am Atma, which is Brahma. One stage sentence has resolved what? Jagad Brahma Aikyam, it has established. And the same Upanishad, having said that, it says, Yaha Nana Iva Pashyati. One who sees this universe as, sees the plurality. Nana Iva Pashyati. Yaha Nana Iva Pashyati. Such one who sees the plurality, that person does not see the oneness of reality, non-duality of the reality. Such a person happily will be going through this journey of being born, again dying. No? Saha mrityoho mrityam. He goes from one death to another death. Mrityoho mrityam apnoti. Once he dies, there one death. From one death, again he'll be born. Again he'll be going towards another death. Mrityoho mrityam apnoti. Savilirundu savai oruvan adaihiran. Which means what? He'll be going through the cycle of births and deaths. So, mrityoho mrityum apnoti is a criticism of the person who sees duality, for whom duality is absolutely real. Plurality is absolutely real. One who does not have the vision of, oneness of the reality or non-duality of the reality. Is it clear? Mrityoho mrityum apnoti. This is a quotation from why I am quoting this. Shankara is quoting how the criticism is present in Taittiriyam. The fear is because of perception of duality, and also perception itself will not cause the fear. The perception of duality being mistaken for absolutely real is the cause for fear. When you see the ocean, when you see the waves, perception of waves and perception of ocean itself will not cause any problem. But if it will cause the problem, if you do not have the vision of the water being the only underlying reality of the entire ocean and the waves. Is it clear? Therefore, he says that there's a praise of the glorification of vision of non-duality as a means of freedom, and the perception of duality being mistaken for absolutely real thing being the cause of your samsara also is criticized here. So criticism also is presented. So this quotation is from Kathopanishad. Yaha nana iva pashyati saha mrityoho mrityum apnoti. He goes after one death, after the another death, continuously he'll be going through this many deaths. That is the meaning. Which means he will be caught up in samsara forever. One who does not have this vision. Therefore, what do you understand here is, it's called wrong perception. Isn't it? The perception, it is the cause for sorrow, samsara. Therefore, even though Upanishads present a Srishti topic, even though Upanishads talk about the jiva being created from Ishvara, etc., still we understand the purpose in the right context, right sense. The ultimate aim of Upanishads is to present the, give you the vision of non-duality, non-difference. Jiva Ishvara Aikyam is the Swarupa Aikya Jnanam is the aim of Upanishads, not the Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Bedaha. The same thing he continues in the next mantra also. Sub 40? Okay, go 40 and come.